East Midlands, you scored a try against them, incidentally.
Ah, right. Okay. Yeah. That was an afternoon game. I do remember that. And Vince Cannon, who was a really good second row, was playing for them. Yeah. That was a good day out.
Now, in your overall career, who would you pick out as your hardest opponents?
Well, the toughest to stand toe-to-toe with would have been the Pontypool second row, John Perkins. The most talented and hard to combat in the line-out would have been Billy Beaumont and Nigel Pomfrey. So those, you know, were the ones that I was up against. The most skillful second rows, Gary Whetton. I played with him for a Welsh President's 15 against Crawshays sometime in 84. Whetton was an awesome guy, a real athlete. And Andy Hayden. Yeah. And then in my own team, I was very happy that I played alongside Fiddler and John Orwin, who were, you know, two really good guys too.
Yeah. I don't think we mentioned... Did we mention John Fiddler when I was asking about the various players? I don't think I mentioned John Fiddler.
No, I think I brought him up in the conversation about he couldn't take a tap penalty because he'd have dropped the ball and couldn't bend down. I mean, Fids was an iconic second row of the time.
Yeah.
You know, big, tough, never took a bad backward step. Mm. And even though he was a big lump, he could jump. Mm. He was a truly gifted player, really good company too. Mm. And, you know, when it was he and I knew really that he'd do all the hard stuff. You know, he'd hit the rucks and he'd do all that sort of stuff, and I could just, you know, hang outside half and hope for a pass.
Yeah, he reminded me in some ways of John Watt, the Bristol.
Oh, Dave Watt.
Sorry, yeah. Dave Watt.
Dave Watt, yeah. Dave Watt. Yeah, I mean, those two up against each other, two huge men. Huge men.
I can remember Dave Watt down at the Memorial Ground, getting the ball, charging down the line in heavy conditions into the bargain. He was charging down the touchline, and gradually he seemed to get slower and slower and slower. But he had players hanging on to him, but he was still going. But you know, I mean, he had no pace at all, but he had incredible strength.
I only remember playing against him once, and I tried to tackle him, and that is the only time in my life that I've ever felt pain after a tackle.
Yeah.
That's the only time I can remember it. He was a giant.
So I was going to ask you, what prompted you to leave Gloucester and play for Moseley?
I think my time at Gloucester had reached, you know, the end really. I think I'd been there for about 12 years. Looking back, I don't think I was playing my best rugby at that time. I don't think I was showing the commitment that I ought to have done. So I was playing rather too many games in the second team for my liking. I think it was the second season that John Orwin was captain, possibly the second season. He and I had played most of the first season. John Fiddler was around still. And I think they were possibly playing three of us in rotation. But, you know, at that time, there was no great communication from the club or the coaches to players. I mean, I once learned that I'd been dropped on a Friday morning. We were playing Bristol on the Saturday. We trained as a team on the Thursday, and I opened the Western Daily Press on the Friday morning. Well, I didn't even open it, because on the back page it said Boyle dropped in Gloucester shake-up. So we had trained as a team the night before. I had no inkling that I wasn't going to be in the team. So they'd obviously had the training session, had the selection meeting, put it in the press, and Bob's your uncle. So yeah, there wasn't a lot of communication, and I think I was unsettled. The club was unhappy with me, and I retired. I just said, listen guys, that's it, I've had enough, and that's it. And then Dave Prothero, who was the Cheltenham hooker that I played against a couple of times, he'd just taken over as coach at Moseley, and you know, he met me one day and he said, listen, you know, I know that you've stopped playing, but I think you've stopped playing for all the wrong reasons, so come and have a crack at Moseley. And I did. And it was fun. It couldn't have been more different to playing at King's Home. It was as if the shackles were off. There was no pressure, there was no great expectation, and against all the odds, we had a record breaking season.
What were your relations with the committee like generally?
Well, me personally, I didn't really get on with them.
No.
Really? You know, I mean, it's difficult, you know, to look back now, but there was always questions raised, there was always doubts, you know. Players had to pay subscription fees, and if you didn't pay your subs, then you weren't picked. There was crowds of, how big were the crowds then? Do you remember? 12,000, 13,000, 14,000?
Back then the crowds, yeah. Ooh, back in those days, only about 3,000 or 4,000 for the most of the club games. The crowds didn't really take off until professionalism came in.
No, only for the county games, really.
Yeah, the county games you
packed out then, of course. Yes. Yeah.
So the there always seemed to be so many committee men, you couldn't really work out, you know, what they all did. You know, I just think it was all part of the communication, really.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end, you know, I fell out with nearly everybody.
So after Moseley, you did retire, did you?
I retired and I started to play National League basketball on Friday nights, and I played Sunday League football on Sunday morning, and I did that probably for a couple of seasons, because I didn't want to become one of the ex-players who went from playing to going in the bar after all the games and, you know, sort of being around. I didn't really want that. I'd never really been a Gloucester fan, you know, sort of in my youth, because I didn't live around Gloucester, so he wasn't really in my blood. So I kept away from all forms of rugby for about 4 or 5 years, and then funnily enough, one of my old friends from the county days, Nigel Pumphrey, rang me and said that there was a rugby tour to Bermuda for ex-England players, would I be interested in going? And it was the following week, And I said, yeah, I'll come. It'll be great, but I have no kit. I had no boots. I had no gum shield. I didn't have anything. Everything had gone. Yeah. So I went on a rugby tour to Bermuda with no rugby kit at all. I had to borrow it all out there, which was fun. Mm.